Luke, the third chapter, beginning with verse 21, the word of God for the people of God. Luke records, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as Jesus was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. One of the challenges that we face in doing faith in the midst of a consumer culture is that we must constantly be on guard that our expressions of faith are not about us. They're not intended with our ultimate benefit in mind. The problem with doing faith in a consumer culture such as the one in which we live, a me-first culture, is that if we are not constantly on guard, the culture will nudge us in the direction of a consumer religion where our wants and our desires become the all-in-all, where we begin to assess everything about our faith and our devotion from the standpoint of, how does this make me feel? How does this make me feel? You see this if you open your eyes in churches all around us where people have come to trade this mystical adoration of the God whom we worship and are to serve, a God that has revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ. We've transferred a mystical adoration of God to more of a glorification of my own emotions. How does this make me feel? As if what I feel is what faith is all about. I wonder, why isn't it that we give more time to showing concern over how what we do in terms of our faith and practice, what we do in terms of our worship and service? Why do we not give more consideration to the question, how does this make God feel? How does this make God feel? The fact that so much of our faith and devotion are anthropological, human-centered, instead of theological, God-centered. The fact that so much of our faith and devotion are geared toward how we feel instead of how God feels reflects how for far too many who call themselves Christian, their understanding of God is what, as one person has called, a slot machine God. I know it's dangerous to use that kind of analogy in a Baptist church, but as I said, it's someone else's observation, not mine, but I think the analogy fits. A slot machine God, a God that we really don't have to relate to, we really don't even have to talk to, but if we act in the right way and do the right thing, then this slot machine God will dole out rewards that are based on our behavior. Rewards that bless us and favor us and meet our deepest needs. And while God is compassionate and caring and quick to respond to the needs of his people. Compare that understanding of God, a slot machine God. I go to God. God gives me what I want if I am good enough. Compare that view of God to how the Bible describes God. Almighty, everlasting, a God before whom people hide their faces and take off their shoes, as did Moses. And yet, at the same time, a God who draws near because he loves and he cares. A God who draws near, listen, to save us from ourselves. Did you hear that? A God who has drawn near to us in Jesus Christ to save me from what I think I want and what I think I need and what I think will make me feel better. And a God who, in the process of transforming me, saves me to life everlasting. What we need on this Sunday, when the pyramids change to green because the season of the church changes to Epiphany, what we really need is an epiphany of that sort of God who is worthy of our utmost worship, praise, and service. Not because of who we are, but because of who this God is. And who has drawn near to do for us what we never could do for ourselves. What, pray tell, can we do? How can we live in such a way? How can we express our faith that we begin to strike something in the heart of God that approaches a measure of joy? I think that's what the text that is before us this morning really invites us to consider. It's a text from Luke's gospel that deals with the baptism of Jesus. And as Dr. Hatley explained last Sunday morning, if you were here, there are several themes that are significant in the season of Epiphany. One is the baptism of Jesus and what that baptism signifies to those of us who call ourselves his followers, his disciples, and what it seeks to inspire from within us that might bring a measure of joy to the heart of God. I love Luke's account of Jesus' baptism because it really is It's a brief account. And something that is unique about Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus is he doesn't say a lot about John the Baptist, as does Matthew and Mark. Luke is more concerned with placing the focus on Jesus, who expresses his desire to be about the Father's business through his baptism, identifying himself with hapless sinners as a way of acknowledging God's mission that he give his life for the sins of the world. Jesus' baptism, as Luke describes it, is a part of a mass baptism. In fact, Luke says in verse 21 that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus is one of many people in the Jordan River expressing his desire to see his life aligned with God's purposes, with God's will, with God's mission. Jesus is not baptized because he needs to repent of any sin. He is being baptized as a way of affirming in his own heart his desire to serve God in the face of what he knows will end at the cross. But Luke, in the midst of this mass baptism, is sort of like one of these Google Earth videos. You've seen these videos where it starts up in outer space and it just kind of narrows down until the video hones in on a particular point. I mean, that really is how Luke describes the baptism of Jesus. He's part of a great multitude, acknowledging their faith and their desire to follow God's will. And yet Luke zeroes down, he narrows down, he hones in upon Jesus, who after he is baptized comes up out of the water and begins to pray, which is an expression of Jesus' devotion and his desire to find strength and power to be about, to be faithful to this remarkable task that God has called him to do, to give himself for the salvation of the world. He prays. And Luke tells us that as Jesus prays, the heavens are open, which is a symbol of revelation. It is Epiphany. The heavens are open. And the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of God, that for which Jesus prayed, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove out of heaven in bodily form, the Bible says. And most importantly, a voice sounds forth from heaven. This, God says, this is my Son, whom I love. And with him, what does God say? I am well pleased. I can't think of a higher expression of joy that God could have uttered. This is my Son, the one whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. God is offering his affirmation and his commendation upon Jesus because of how Jesus has expressed his desire to be faithful to the Father's will. God expresses joy at the obedience of Jesus. Do you remember when you were baptized? I dare say most of us here this morning have followed Jesus in believer's baptism. I was 9 years of age. First Baptist Church of Chickasaw, Alabama, which is North Mobile. Dr. Bob Barker was my pastor, and all the stories I've heard about Dr. Dotson Nelson, and the stories I know about Dr. Jim Mobies. Dr. Barker was that kind of figure in the Mobile area. It was like being baptized by God. He had white hair. He looked like an angel. And I can remember before I went into the waters on a Sunday night with about 25 other boys and girls. I was a part of a mass baptism myself. Dr. Barker got us all together and he said, "Now, boys and girls, I want you, if you don't remember anything else about this night, I want you to remember this. You're doing something tonight that Jesus did. And there are very few things that you'll ever be able to do as Jesus did them. But your baptism is a way of expressing your desire to follow Jesus in his obedience to God." And I've never forgotten it. All these years later, I still remember what Dr. Barker challenged me to do. And those of you in this church this morning whom I have had the privilege to baptize, you know how every single baptism, before we go into these waters, I say the same thing to those boys and girls, those men and women, doesn't matter how old the candidate is, you are doing something that Jesus did. As Baptists, we believe baptism is the first step of obedience. We're not a sacramental people. We don't believe that when we baptize a person, that in some way the church is dispensing grace, as some churches view the ritual of baptism. We don't even believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved and be put right with God, as some Christian communities believe. It's your faith that saves you, and it's your baptism that is your profession of faith. We invite people Sunday after Sunday, after every experience of worship, to walk down the aisle. And we've always called that, as Baptists, a profession of faith. But brothers and sisters, your profession of faith is in that baptistry. That's where you make a profession of faith. And that's where you follow Jesus in doing what Jesus did, telling the world, I want to obey God. I want to be about God's business. I want to face my future with my life aligned with God's purposes. And just as Jesus did, when any one of us comes to a place in our faith journey where we step out in that fashion and we say, from this point on, it's not about me. From this point on, Jesus is my Lord. And it's about Him and how I serve the purposes of God in the same way He did. And whenever anyone makes a decision like that, I firmly believe that the heavens open and a voice is heard from heaven. This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. With him, with her, I am well pleased. It is our obedience that begins at baptism and continues on every day God gives us breath. It is our obedience, Jesus is showing us, that brings God great joy. Does your life reflect that level of obedience? Does God find joy when God looks down at you and sees the way in which you express your faith, you show your devotion? It's an old story, but it's such a good story, especially as we think about baptism and how baptism becomes a profession of faith and a witness to the world, much as Jesus did, that we're serious about sparking joy in the heart of God. It's a story that goes back to the early part of the last century. A machinist was employed at the Ford Motor Company. This was really before full assembly lines and the automobile industry was a much more hands-on industry than it certainly is today. The story centers around this machinist who was employed by the Ford Motor Company, and it had become a common practice for employees of Ford Motor Company. In fact, they called it borrowing tools from the company. And so they just take tools home. Henry Ford's got a lot of money, a lot of tools at the plant. This tool will never be missed. And I'm just borrowing it. And like in the old days when we borrowed library books and often forgot to take them back. And everyone sort of knew it, and it was systemic, and you know, management kind of turned a blind eye to the practice. Well, as it turns out, one of these machinists who had borrowed a pretty good haul of tools over the years from the Ford Motor Company came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, became a Christ follower, and was baptized as an expression of his faith. And it was a transforming experience to the point that he felt, as we used to say, convicted about his sin. He felt guilty about what he had been doing, and he knew it was wrong. And he decided within his spirit, God revealed it to him, you got to do something about that. So the Monday morning after his baptism on Sunday, he arrives at the plant with his cache of tools that he has borrowed. Now he's got to explain the situation to his foreman. And he tells him the truth. Over the years, as you know, like many have done, I've borrowed these tools, but I'm bringing them back because I don't think this is right. And I hope that you'll forgive me, but whatever happens, I've got to face. And the foreman was so impressed at what this employee had done, he decided that he's going to take it to the top. He was going to tell the story to the big boss, Henry Ford himself. Henry Ford was somewhere over in Europe touring one of the plants that they were constructing in Europe. This was the days before the telephone, not the cell phone. I'm talking about the old rotary phone. So he had to send a cable. And so he sends a cable to Henry Ford, who's away overseas, and he explains the whole story to Henry Ford. What do you want me to do? Should I fire him? Should I forgive him? Henry Ford cabled back, here's what I want you to do. I want you to dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire plant. True story. You know anything about Henry Ford? Baptize the entire plant. Point is, whenever someone expresses his or her desire to be obedient, those who are above us are moved to great joy. How much more is God moved by the obedience of his people? To surrender your will to the will of God is the word surrender. We've turned it into a sort of pejorative term. It's giving up. It's giving in. It's waving in the towel. We sing the hymn, I Surrender All, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit does anyone come forward, because nobody wants to surrender anything anymore in this culture in which we live, until we realize that the devotion to which God calls us, the devotion that brings God joy, is not a giving up or giving in. It's a giving to something. It's a giving to someone. It's like when we come up out of the waters of baptism. If you can remember, your life, your outlook, your perspective was entirely changed. It's facing our future with the knowledge that we're not alone, that we have presence and power, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And our desire is to live our lives in such a way that we magnify God and we give Him great joy. So maybe today would be a good day for you to remember your baptism as we have looked at the baptism of Jesus. whether it was something that happened last month or last year or last decade or many decades ago, as was my baptism, to think about how well your life is aligned with the life of Jesus and God's purposes in such a way that you experience God's presence and God's power. And you offer your witness, even as did Jesus, in ways that bring God the greatest of joy.